Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nityananda Prabhu continued, "You are such a monist, and now I am eating beside you. I do not know how my mind will be affected in this way." So please repeat after me. Nityananda Prabhu continued, "You are such a monist, and now I am eating beside you. I do not know how my mind will be affected in this way." Purport. Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha, Bhagavad Gita 262. One develops his consciousness according to society and association. As Srila Nityananda Prabhu admits, a devotee should be very careful when associating with those who are not devotees. When asked by a householder devotee what the behavior of a devotee should be, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately replied, "Asat sanga tyag e Vaishnava achar, Sri sangi ekas asadu Krishna bhakta ar." C.C. Madhya 22:87. A Vaishnava devotee should simply discard intimate association with non-devotees. In his Upadeshamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami has described the symptoms of intimate relationships in this way. The dati pratigrinati guyamakyati pritchati bhunkte bojayate chaiva sadvidham pritilakshanam. The words bhunkte bojayate indicate that one should eat with devotees. One should carefully avoid eating food offered by non-devotees. Indeed, a devotee should be very strict in not accepting food from a non-devotee, especially food prepared in restaurants or hotels or on airplanes. Srila Nityananda Prabhu's reference in this connection is meant to emphasize that one should avoid eating with Mayavadis and covert Mayavadis like the Sahajya Vaishnavas, who are materially affected. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Lalita Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutan Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pascha Chadeshatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So the verse again. Nityananda Prabhu continued, "You are such a monist, and I am eating beside you. I do not know how my mind will be affected in this way." So the context of this verse is very interesting. So Mahaprabhu, together with all of his associates, had just finished the pastime of the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. And traditionally, every year, the Bengali devotees would come for Ratha Yatra. And after the Ratha Yatra festival, they would stay on and associate with Mahaprabhu. And Advaita Acharya and Sri Nityananda Prabhu, they were part of the Bengali group that would visit Mahaprabhu. They didn't reside full-time with Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. So one day it's mentioned Mahaprabhu took his bath, and after taking his bath, he was invited to take prasadam. Vaninath Rai, who is the brother of Ramananda Rai, together with Kashi Mishra and other associates, they got sufficient Mahaprasadam from Lord Jagannath to feed 500 people. So there was lots of prasadam, cakes, sweet rice, sabjis, puris, such wonderful description of the prasadam. So they all went into the garden to take prasadam. And he explained some were sitting on benches and some were sitting next to each other. And Lord Nityananda sat next to Sri Advaita Acharya. We know from the explanation of the Panchatattva that Sri Advaita Acharya is a Mahavishnu who has come down as Advaita Acharya to engage in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu is Lord Balaram himself. So it is nice to witness how these forms of the Lord relate to each other. And Srila Prabhupada describes that they engaged in mock fighting. Now this mock fighting is a very interesting phenomenon where, you know, people who are close together, they engage in what is called pulling each other's leg, poking fun, and making fun, and enjoying each other's company. So they're sitting next to each other, and Advaita Acharya starts the mock fight. And he turns to Lord Nityananda and he says, "I am sitting in line with an unknown mendicant. And because I am eating with him, I do not know what kind of destination is awaiting me." So he's poking fun of Lord Nityananda. He says, "I don't know you. You're a mendicant, you know, but I don't know anything about you. This is dangerous." And he says, "Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the renounced order of life. Consequently, he does not recognize discrepancies. As a matter of fact, his sannyasi is not affected by eating food from anyone and elsewhere." He says, "You know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is okay. He's a sannyasi. He's not affected." But he says, "According to Shastra, household brahmanas, who Advaita Acharya was playing the part of, this kind of eating with unknown stranger mendicant is very dangerous. It is not proper for householders to dine with those whose previous birth, family, character and behavior are unknown." So he poked Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda, he said, he immediately refuted Sri Advaita Acharya, saying, "You are a teacher of impersonal monism. And the monastic conclusion is a great hindrance to progressive pure devotional service. So how did Lord Nityananda respond? He said, you Advaita Acharya, I know you're a monist. And there is nothing more dangerous in one's spiritual life as far as a Vaishnava is concerned than to associate with a monist. Now yesterday, Kartik Chandra Prabhu explained very nicely why it is so dangerous. How that philosophy of monism is so contaminating. Did you listen to the class yesterday? Did you hear that? It was so beautifully presented. And so Lord Nityananda is saying, well, I think I'm in a more dangerous position than you. Because you're a monist. And in this verse, Lord Nityananda continues, he's saying, you are such a monist, and I am eating beside you. I do not know how my mind will be affected in this way. Srila Prabhupada, being the acharya, he doesn't get so much caught up in the joking, but he gets very much into the philosophy behind the joking. Because when two lords joke, it's just not like ordinary joking, mundane words. There's a depth behind it. And as the next verse says, although they went on talking and joking and praising one another, although the praise appeared negative, for it appeared as if they exchanged all ill names. But within that were some deep meanings. And Srila Prabhupada, being the acharya, he extracts those deep meanings for us. Srila Prabhupada used to say, a spiritual life is like a razor's edge. If one is not careful, one can easily get cut. So Srila Prabhupada is bringing out that principle in the purport. So let's discuss this. But just for your interest, there's also another part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita where an equally, or if not even more relishable, joking takes place between Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya. Do you all know where that happens? Yes. Yes, 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 that's right. After Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he was invited by Advaita Acharya to come and take prasad. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu also came there. Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Jai Shishi Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Jai Shishi Gornita Ki Jai. So there, you can read about it, but very simply, Advaita Acharya prepares a big feast. He invites Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu is saying, oh, this is such a big feast. And Nityananda Prabhu says, what is this? You know, this can't feed anybody. You know, what are you trying to offer me? So he criticizes Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya says to him, you are just a fake renunciant. You know, you act like a renunciant, but even so much food is not enough for you. And they carry on joking. And eventually, Lord Nityananda Prabhu gets so upset. He takes some rice from his plate. He throws it on the floor. And some rice bounces off the floor, sticks to the body of Advaita Acharya. And he, because Lord Nityananda's remnants touch his body, he goes into complete ecstasy and starts to dance. Such a relishable exchange between these two lords. So this is very nice to witness. So in the purport, there's a lot of discussion by Srila Prabhupada about the dangers about eating food offered by non-devotees, and also the association that comes from non-devotees. So we'll talk about that, and Srila Prabhupada quotes three verses which are Very interesting. Srila Prabhupada starts off by quoting this verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Dayato vishayan pumsa sangas teshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kamaha kamat krodha vijayate. And this verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks it. And it's a very famous verse because according to our acharyas and Lord Krishna, this verse explains the process of fall down. And basically the verse says, while contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment for them. From attachment, lust arises. Yeah? And when lust is unfulfilled, anger arises. And from there, one falls down. So what is the relevance of that? And Srila Prabhupada explains, one develops one's consciousness according to society and association. Now on the path of Krishna consciousness, we are all on the path of Krishna consciousness. This path is the path of pure devotional service. And the path of pure devotional service is a very fine tuning of one's consciousness. Srila Rupa Goswami gives the definition of what Uttama Bhakti or pure devotional service is. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavrita anakulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttama. So in this verse, that fine-tuning of what is bhakti is described. The first bit of the tuning is that bhakti must be freed from contaminations. And what are the contaminations that contaminate one's consciousness? Srila Rupa Goswami gives a number. The first he said, jnana. Jnana means the desire for impersonal liberation. Two, karma, the desire for material sense enjoyment. Three, adi, the desires for yogic, mystic perfections. And then he explains some other key elements for pure devotional service. He describes the mood. The mood must be favorable. Sometimes the mood is favorable, but it is not like Krishna wants. Like it is described by the devotees, they used to go to the life member's house, office, and the life member will offer them tea. And the devotees will say, we don't drink tea. Huh? And then the life member will pull out a little box. He says, yeah, but my tea, I put tulsi in my tea. So he put the tulsi in the tea. So his mood was favorable, but it's not as Krishna desires. And then the next element is, it should be continuous. So Srila Rupa Goswami has packed so much into this definition of what is pure devotional service. And each of that, it's fine-tuning our consciousness so that the path of pure bhakti is never affected. So the path of Krishna consciousness is the path of really developing our consciousness. And that consciousness has to be very carefully guarded. Srila Prabhupada used to say, we need to do whatever is needed to preserve our consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada is saying here, when one associates with non-devotees, and one Srila Prabhupada then goes on to define what is association. What does it mean to associate with non-devotees? And Srila Prabhupada quotes the verse from Nectar of Instruction, which is not commonly known as the six exchanges of six loving exchanges between devotees, which are offering prasadam, accepting prasadam, giving gifts, accepting gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, and sharing one's revealing one's mind in confidence, and also accepting, you know, the other person's mind. So these are the six loving exchanges between devotees. But Srila Prabhupada says, and actually in the purport to the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada says, we can apply sometimes the same principles in ordinary dealings between people. So Prabhupada is saying that when one engages in any of these six exchanges with non-devotees, one becomes contaminated. And Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse from the 22nd chapter of the Madhya Lila. This chapter is called The Process of Devotional Service. It forms part of what is called Sanatan Shiksha, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Sanatan Goswami on the principles of devotional service. And one verse that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks to Sanatan Goswami, he says, he's asked, what is the behavior of a devotee? And Mahaprabhu says, he answers it in the negative. He says, the behavior of a devotee, one way you can recognize a devotee, is that a devotee never associates intimately with non-devotees. And in the next of instruction, we also know that Srila Rupa Goswami explains in the second verse, Atyahara prayashtascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha lolyamcha sadbir bhakti vinaschati. Srila Rupa Goswami says, one's devotional service is spoiled when he becomes entangled in the following six activities. Who knows the six activities that spoil one's devotional service? Anybody? Achara means? Achara means it's one's devotional service is when one eats more than necessary or collects more funds than necessary. And then the second one is over-endeavoring for mundane achievements or things that are too difficult to achieve. And the next one is prajalpo, talking unnecessary about mundane subject matter. Niyamagraha, practicing the rules and regulations simply for the sake of practicing them. And then janasangascha lolyam cha, associating with worldly-minded persons. So that's called janasangha. Now Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that there are six types of janasangha, unwanted association. What are the six types of unwanted association? Now it's important we know this. Because if we understand that such an important principle, that one's devotional life becomes spoilt if one associates with the wrong types of people, then one should know who are the wrong types of people. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the first category is Mayavadis and atheists. We know from yesterday's class who are Mayavadis. Mayavadis are those persons that think that Krishna's form is material, that they are God, and everyone else is God. Obviously, it's much deeper than that, but in essence, atheists are people who deny the existence of God. The second type are sense enjoyers. The third type are those who are fond of sense enjoyers. The fourth type is the opposite sex. For men, women, and for women, men. The fifth type is womanizers. It doesn't apply so much to men, more for women, but more men or womanizers. Six is the hypocritically devout. These people who are devout, externally come across as being very devout, but actually their main aim is sense gratification. And the last one is the ill-behaved, foolish outcasts. So these are the type, some of the types of unwanted association. Now, in terms of the unwanted association, the activity that's being described in this verse is accepting food from unwanted association. Now, some people may ask the question, it's only food. But we need to understand why Srila Prabhupada quoted that verse from Bhagavad Gita. Our consciousness gets affected through the senses. What we hear affects our consciousness. What we see affects our consciousness. What we smell affects our consciousness. What we taste affects our consciousness. What we touch affects our consciousness. So that is another verse from the Srimad Chaitanya Charitamrita spoken by Raghunath Das Goswami, in which Srila Prabhupada explains this principle a bit more. And I thought I'll read this verse here and a bit of the purport just to understand the importance. So in chapter Antya Leela, chapter number 12, I think it is. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami speaks this verse. Vishayira anakaila malina ayamana malina mana haila nahe krishnera smarana. When one eats food offered by a materialistic man, one's mind becomes contaminated. And when the mind is contaminated, one is unable to think of Krishna properly. So what happened? How does the process work? The person that cooks, their consciousness enters the food, especially the grain. The cook's consciousness affects what they are cooking. When one consumes that food, puts it through the mouth, it contaminates the mind. And what is the effect of the mind being contaminated? One is unable to think of Krishna properly. Srila Rupa Goswami has explained, Smartavya Satatam Vishnu, Vishmartavya Najyotachit. He explains that the essence of all of Krishna consciousness, of any activity that we perform in Krishna consciousness, is to always remember and never forget Krishna. Krishna Smaranam is the goal. And Srila Raghunath Das Goswami said, when one's mind is contaminated, it becomes very difficult to remember Krishna. So the purport Srila Prabhupada explains very nicely further. Srila Prabhupada said, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur suggests that people who are materialistically inclined and sahajyas, or so-called Vaishnavas who take everything very casually, are both vishayis or materialists. Eating food offered by them causes contamination, and as a result of such contamination, even a serious devotee becomes like a materialistic man. So it is explained that we have Krishna and we have matter or Maya. So the gross materialists, they are attached to matter, but they are detached from Krishna. The Mayavadis, the impersonalists, they are detached from matter and detached from Krishna, which is not good. Then you have the Sahajyas, the pretenders. They are attached to Krishna, but they are also attached to matter because they are sense enjoyers. And then you have the devotees who are meant to be detached from matter and attached to Krishna. So we get these different categories of people. And Srila Prabhupada is explaining here that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is saying those categories of people, the sense enjoyers who are attached to matter, and the sahajyas who are also attached to matter, although they have some attachment for Krishna, their association should be avoided, and especially food offered by them should not be taken. Srila Prabhupada, there's some pastimes of Srila Prabhupada where he emphasized this point very, very much. There was one pastime where Srila Prabhupada was invited by some life members to travel to a place called Mahabaleshwar, which is not too far from Pune. And this place is known as the Kashmir of Maharashtra. In India, the rich people, they always have houses in what is called hill stations. In India, the summers are very hot. So the hill stations are very cool. So during the summer, they go to the hill station. So there was one life member who had three properties in a hill station in this place called Mahabaleshwar. So he invited Srila Prabhupada. And he said that they welcomed Srila Prabhupada when Srila Prabhupada was in Mumbai. And the host, the wife and the husband came to meet Srila Prabhupada in saffron clothing. Anyway, they traveled in a convoy up from Mumbai, or Bombay as it was then, all the way to Mahabaleshwar. And it was a 4-hour drive. And it was a very difficult journey for Srila Prabhupada. He said he felt very sick due to the winding roads. Anyway, when they got there, after 4 hours, the host decided to serve Prabhupada and the devotees lunch. And the way they cooked many, many preparations, and the way they served it, they had something called a lazy Susan. You know what is a lazy Susan? It's like a turntable. They have in the middle of the table like a turntable, and they'll have all the preparations on the turntable, and you can spin it, and whoever sitting around the table could have a little. So they partook of the meal, and the hosts would put their hand in the spoon, put things, and the devotees would do the same. And they took their meals. We know from Vaishnav culture that we never do that, because the moment one is eating, it becomes jata, and you touch the spoon, it all becomes contaminated. But Srila Prabhupada didn't say anything. He thanked them for the meal. The next morning, Srila Prabhupada got up early to translate his books. And then he rang his bell. And his servant was asleep, but when he heard Prabhupada's bell, he quickly got up. And he came running into Srila Prabhupada's room. And Srila Prabhupada said, do you hear that? And the devotee listened. And he said, yes, Srila Prabhupada, it's snoring. And Prabhupada said, yes, I know it's snoring. But why is the snoring going on? And Prabhupada looked at his watch and he said, it's 5 o'clock now. The devotee should have got up. They should have had Mangal Arati. And they should have been chanting their rounds. Just by eating the food, yesterday they've become contaminated. Pack our bags, we're leaving now. And Prabhupada's servant said, but Prabhupada, you know, you traveled so far to get here. We told the hosts that we're going to stay for 4 days. They're going to be offended. What shall we do? And Prabhupada just say the Swamiji was sick. So they packed their bags, and by the time the hosts got up, they saw they were about to leave. And they said, Swamiji, what happened? Why are you leaving? Prabhupada obviously didn't say why. He said, I'm just not well, I have to go back. And Prabhupada just endured such a difficult journey coming up there, and he had to go all the way back. And he said, when he reached back to Bombay, he was very sick. And Prabhupada says, just see how eating food cooked by non-devotees affects one. In the same property, or in the same pastime, Srila Prabhupada also, when Prabhupada acquired the land in Bombay in 1972, there was the big land, and at the back there were different buildings by the tenants. And there were some buildings that had never had internal toilets or bathrooms. It was an external toilet. So the devotees had no toilet, no facilities. And they wanted to use those toilets. Prabhupada says, I don't want you to use those toilets. He says, dig a hole in the ground, put 4 bamboo poles and wrap it with cloth. But I don't want you using those toilets. And then Prabhupada found out that the devotees, his disciples, who were on the property, sometimes they would get thirsty. And when they were thirsty, they would go to the tenant's house. They were just pious Hindus, they were not devotees. They were just pious. They would ask some water from the tenants. And the tenants would offer them, being pious Hindus, would offer them some water. And the devotees would take the water, but they would also sit there and they would start talking. And when they started to talk, and when one talks with non-devotees, then one talks prajalpo, or village talk. And then they would engage in this talk. And gradually, the devotees, Prabhupada, noticed that they were, consciousness was being affected. And he became very upset. He said, I don't want you to ever go to any of the tenants' houses. And then Prabhupada also noticed something else, that the devotees from the West would come, and they would normally arrive in Bombay. And they would come for different purposes. Some of them would come to buy cloth for the deities, outfits and so on. And there was one life member who had a hotel. And that hotel had a pure vegetarian restaurant. But the devotees, this life member offered the devotees to come and stay there for free and to eat for free. So the devotees would go and they'll stay in the hotel. And they would eat the food. It was vegetarian food, but not cooked by devotees. And then Prabhupada was noticing that the devotees were becoming affected by this. And then the devotees, they were surprised. They said, Prabhupada, how can this affect the devotees? Prabhupada says, when they're living in the hotel, they see how the other people are enjoying. Then the devotees will think, material life is not so bad. It's enjoying. And then one's consciousness becomes spoiled. So, on the path of Krishna consciousness, one is trying to cultivate a very refined consciousness. Just like one would not allow anyone, ordinary person, to tamper with one's body. Why would we allow any ordinary person to tamper with our consciousness? Because their consciousness, when we eat food cooked by non-devotees, we do not know their consciousness. We do not know whether they are Mayavadis. We do not know whether they are sense enjoyers. We do not know whether they've taken bath after going to the bathroom. We do not know anything about them. Yet we are allowing their consciousness to enter into the food. We are allowing ourselves to consume that food, and we are allowing that food to contaminate our consciousness. Therefore, we can see why Srila Prabhupada was so particular. He was so particular that the devotees should never associate with materialistic persons. Now, there's a very interesting book also written by Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur. Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur has written a book called Bhakti Aloka. I'm not sure if any of you have read this book, but this is a commentary on Srila Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita. And especially the first five verses, he gives an extensive commentary. And I mentioned to you that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur lists six types of non-devotees. The second type he mentioned that we should not associate with is the sense enjoyers. And he explains that there are two types of sense enjoyers. Those who are extremely attached to sense gratification or enjoyment. And then the second category he mentions, devotees who are attached to sense enjoyment. Then he says, the category of devotees attached to sense enjoyment can further be broken down into two further categories. The first category are those who have included the Lord as part of their sense enjoyment. And the second category are those who have kept the Lord at the center of their sense enjoyment. Now, what does that mean? That devotees are attached to sense enjoyment. So the first category, those who have included the Lord as part of their sense enjoyment. Prabhupada says, or Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, of the two classes, the first class is preferable. So can anybody think of an example of those who include the Lord as part of their sense enjoyment? I was thinking about it. This is possibly the sahajiyas, isn't it? The sahajiyas, they are attached to Krishna. And they, in one sense, you know, sahaja means one who takes things very cheaply. That one who takes the process of devotional service very cheaply. This morning, Kartik Chandra Prabhu was explaining to me that this word sahaja has two parts to it. Sahaja, saha means together, and jiha means at birth. One who takes things together at birth. And he was explaining to me that what is the things that they take together at birth? One is the practice of devotional service. And the other is the perfection. It's like they say, at the time of birth, one already knows one's constitutional position of being a coward boy or a gopi. And they act in that path or in that way without really going through the process of purification to understand what is their position. And Kartik Chandra was also explaining that in spiritual life we have the principle, which is Siddhanta, and then we have the practice. To attain the goal, which is Sadhya, both have to be there, the Siddhanta and the practice. And we know Srila Prabhupada used to say that religion without philosophy is mere sentiment. And philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So the Sahajiyas, they give focus to the practice. But they ignore the Siddhanta. Whereas the Mayavadis, they give emphasis on the Siddhanta, but they completely ignore the practice of devotional service. Or as Kartik Chandra Prabhu was saying yesterday, the practice may be there, but it's very superficial. Very superficial. So Srila Prabhupada mentions the Sahaja Vaishnavas, and he mentions the Mayavadis. So on the path of devotional service, if one tends too much towards sense gratification, then one will tend towards the path of the Sahajiya. And if one tends too much towards jnana or liberation, one will tend towards the monastic path. Therefore we see in Srila Prabhupada's books, Srila Prabhupada is so protective of his readers. So protective. He explains so clearly the dangers of the path of sense gratification. He explains so clearly the dangers of the path of Sahajism. And he explains so carefully the dangers of the path of monastic philosophy. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says the only complaint he has against his disciples is they do not read his books. He's gone to great pains, to great lengths, to explain all of these pitfalls on the path of bhakti. You know, we see it even nowadays. Some Mayavadi is giving some Bhagavad Katha. And the devotees are going. And they're listening, and they're thinking, but he's speaking from 10th canto. He's speaking from Bhagavatam. That's part of our philosophy. There is no difficulty there. Prabhupada said, milk touched by the lips of a serpent causes poisonous effect. Because their consciousness is contaminated, they are thinking that Krishna is an ordinary person. When they speak, when that words come out of their mouth, it affects the consciousness. Some devotees, they go to Navaratri and some different Hindu festivals. And there they serve so-called prasadam. And the devotee is saying it's been offered to the devatas, and they eat, they consume that prasadam. But what is happening? We are consuming their consciousness. Consuming their consciousness. So, Srila Prabhupada, you will see through all of these purports, there's jokings taking place. But Srila Prabhupada is extracting from it the deeper meaning of what Advaita Acharya is saying, what Sri Nityananda Prabhu is saying. And Prabhupada is so beautifully presenting Krishna consciousness so that we could be aware in our own lives. Prabhupada used to say, at all costs, preserve your consciousness. And we should be like that. When we are putting anything in through our ears, we're putting anything through our eyes, we're putting anything through the tongue, just think about how that will affect our consciousness. So I'll stop here. There's a few other things to say, but I think we should leave some time for questions and comments. Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Here's a mic for Prayojan Prabhu.
Jagannath Puri, quite often, they're not actually following the rules and regulations. The Brahmins there and such like. And I remember Gaur Govinda Swami, he said about this, he says, well, Lord Jagannath actually is so merciful. He sees thousands of devotees coming. But on their behalf, he accepts because they've come for his prasad. So in a way, there is a concession, but the Lord is so merciful, Lord Jagannath is so merciful. And I remember when I was there, they were hiring, they were doing dues there, you know, sort of thing, in their celebrations and went to Bhubaneswar and everything, where they were hiring people. And personally, I try to avoid as much as possible that. But Lord Jagannath, it was that thing that Gaur Govinda Swami, he sees them all coming. They want to worship him. So they accept, as part of his mercy, he accepts it. They've come thousands of miles. You know, so that's just one point.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for that. It's interesting you talk about Lord Jagannath. When Ramanuja Acharya went to Jagannath temple and he saw the practices there by the pujaris, he sort of criticized them and he tried to change their practices. But at night, Lord Jagannath came into his dream and chastised him for criticizing his pujaris. And it is said he threw Ramanujacharya from Jagannath Puri all the way to Kurmastan. So Lord Jagannath is very merciful, you know, although his devotees may have some so-called external discrepancies, he accepts whatever they offer him. And because he's accepting it, it's Mahaprasadam. He sees their love. Thank you for that. Any other questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, and also we know Prabhupada is known as Patita Pavana.
Prabhupada.
And the process is Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirbhapanam Sreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam Vidyavadu Jivanam Anandam Budim Vardhanam Pratipadam Purnamrita Swadhanam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Where he come from? Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. Doesn't belong to this world. It's straight directly from Goloka Vrindavan. And Mahavanaya Yavatara, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most merciful incarnation to save all the fallen souls.
Was there a point that you were making in relation to the class, Prabhu? By saying that, by quoting those verses. And what was the point?
Yeah, because you know, you were explaining how our mind gets contaminated and all these processes, how we, you know, are, you know, belong to the untouchable, like mudhas. And just wanted to, you know, like, highlight that, the mercy of Prabhupada, right? Thank you so much for such an amazing presentation.
It's interesting you say that. You know those life members I was quoting that had the lazy Susan, that Prabhupada went to their house? The same life members, Prabhupada invited them back to the temple in Mumbai. Prabhupada gave them nice accommodation. Srila Prabhupada fed them wonderful prasad. Srila Prabhupada gave them his association. So the point, I didn't include that, but that's important what you say, is because Srila Prabhupada's is not only about rejecting the non-devotee class. Prabhupada is also extending his mercy towards these people. But the important point is, like someone asked the question, how is it that devotees can get contaminated by the non-devotees, by the non-devotees are not getting changed by the devotees? You know? Then Prabhupada said, no, you should give your association and they will be benefited. But we should be very careful about not taking their association, because, you know, Maya is very strong, and if we are not strong enough, we can also get affected. So it's not that we shun the non-devotees. Mahaprabhu's process is we are always endeavoring to extend ourselves to give mercy, to give them prasadam, but not to take. We should give. Prabhupada said we should know the art of touching water but not getting wet. You know? So that is there. So thank you for bringing that up, Prabhu. Yeah.
I just want to make one last point. You know, yesterday we went out on Priscilla Prabhupada's marathon and we were trying to give some books out. Then there was a Hindu mother with his son, and I was telling them, please take this book. We have them all. We are Brahmanas. But my son, he eats meat. So you know, there's the fanatism, and the other hand is what Prabhupada is giving, and what Prabhupada gave to the hippies, how lift them then up. Turn them into Vaishnavas.
True.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. And in the beginning days, Srila Prabhupada didn't give any rules and regulations. And the devotees, after getting initiated, they would go to the donut shop and have donuts. Then one day when they came back, they saw a sign written by Srila Prabhupada in his own handwriting. Devotees don't go to the coffee shop and eat donuts, you know. Or something to that effect, you know? Yeah, do not. Okay, it's past 9 o'clock now. I hope nobody has any burning questions, but I think we should stop. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.